Welcome to the Fearless Podcast. In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all, welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. This is episode 29.
Episode 29. Good to be here.
It's good to be here. It's good to be alive. We're sitting by the fire. We're reminiscing. We're musing. We're considering things and stuffs and stuffs, likes and such as and all those different things. And it's great to be recording today.
Yeah, it's 2024.
2024.
It's 2024.
Happy New Year, y'all.
8 days into 2024.
Hopefully we can survive and see the end of this year. So.
Hey, I've had some people tell me this is the year. It's going to be a good.
This is it.
Guaranteed. It's going to be a good year.
Well, one thing that we do know is that this will be the most critical election.
Dude.
Just like all the previous
this
elections.
This is going to be.
George Washington.
This is going to be crazy because there might be a civil war if Joe gets back in again. It could go bad. It could be crazy if Sleepy Pants somehow gets back on in the White House again. It could be crazy. The super Trumpers are going to lose their mind.
I think that's by design.
I
the social engineers have been working on that for a while, and we're actually going to touch on that. So don't get too ahead of our skis here.
I know.
First thing we are going to get to is, as always, this podcast is brought to you by thetexasboys.com. So if you appreciate and enjoy the content we put out, please go over to thetexasboys.com, check us out, maybe some merch, maybe some coffee, tea, honey, whatever you need over there, check it out. And we greatly appreciate the love and support. We want to thank all of our customers.
Definitely.
For just being a huge blessing to us, and takes teamwork to make the dream work. And we're living the dream, y'all. So let's start with around the farm. What's been cooking around here, Matt?
We've had quite a few things happen of recent. The one thing that happened actually today is we've been waiting for over a year or so now to have some telephone poles removed off of our property. And
somebody had used it and shot it, riddled it with 22.
We've shot it a couple times, and then Junior shot it a lot,
and it was shot to bits
before that. So it's been needing to get taken down. There was two poles and it was just clogging up the works,
right in the way.
Anyway, so we called them a year or more ago. We're like, hey, could y'all put us on the list and come take it out? And
I said, hey, now look, I know I'm on a lot of different lists, but could you put me on the list where you get these telephone poles out of my way? And, add my name to that list.
Yeah. Can you remove me off those other lists, please? So they came out today. And actually, it was a little bit scary there for a second because they had to measure the gate entrance because
their truck
has this big old, extension pole, crane deal.
So how much extra room did
they have? Quite a bit. Okay, they had a couple feet actually.
We got 16 foot.
We got a 16 foot entrance and it's 2 foot in the ground. So it's about 14 foot of clearance. Plus I took a mini excavator and dug the hump out of the road there too. So it's around 14 or so feet.
Okay.
Tall. So anyway, so they came in here and within 30 minutes had them pulled them out. They had a couple guys shimmy up the poles and disconnect it from the transformer.
Yeah, it was really cool because, you know, they called me to let me know they were at the gate. And I said, oh, I'll send my butler out to open the gate.
Your manservant?
I'll send out my manservant.
Did you say that?
and I said, oh, hey, by the way, is there any charge for this? And he said, no. And I was like, check that out.
Hook her up. So anyway, so
serving the
pole. They got done and they were like, hey, do y'all want the poles? And we're like, hook it up. Why not? And they already had a pole on the truck and they we went back out there and they left that one too. So awesome. We got a bonus poll.
Yeah. So we have some really nice, creosoted poles that we can cut into
anything.
Fence posts.
They work great for lots of stuff. So, that's an update. Really exciting. It opens up the backyard, side yard, area. And
we're going to need a service pole for the new property. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. We can save one of them.
Pretty cool.
Cause those things are expensive nowadays. Yeah. But, also we did a little bit of seeding, quite a bit of seeding. We seeded about 200 or 300 pounds of winter rye over at the ranch. It's been doing phenomenal over there. Also experimented since it was dirt cheap, still is dirt cheap. Whole oats in 50-pound bags. We seeded another 200 pounds over there at the ranch. And it is the only grass that's growing over there right now is the winter rye and the oats. And where we put it on thick, it's just blowing up. And then we moved the cows to the back and we're feeding them back there with all their hay and everything like that, just to give the front pasture that they're on all summer long, all spring long, and into the fall, giving that a good winter break so it can just relax. And anyway, so that's really exciting. And then also back at the shop, it's been, there's a sandy loam back there. So I experimented and I casted loads of oats back there. And they're blowing up like crazy back there. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just doing it as like a cover crop.
You're gonna have to mow it.
Yeah. Well, there's ponies back there. There's two ponies. That's a good point. So they nibble back there on it a little bit. So anyway.
Think about that.
Yep. So very cool. You got any updates? How about
that's like barrel stacking, bro?
Yeah, I know. What about your barrels? How are they?
The barrels are working great. So we've had several nights now consistently below freezing.
Chilly.
And the cuttings that I'm rooting out there are still doing great. And the buds are starting to break and everything, which means that they're staying. I don't know how they're doing so well. So right now I have four barrels. I let my barrel guy know. I got a barrel guy, y'all.
It's been overcast.
Yeah.
Too. For it's a couple great days.
It's been rainy.
Rainy, nasty,
and everything
wet.
Else. Yeah. And they're still working beautifully. I'm looking. I let my barrel guy know that I'm in the market for
more barrels,
four more black barrels. Yeah. So
there was actually somebody that was watching the show and then they were like, hey, I live kind of near y'all.
Yeah. Local sub.
Yeah.
And I hooked them up with my barrel guy. Yeah. You know, not everybody has a barrel guy. So like all those lists I'm on. One of my lists is I'm on the barrel.
You're
guys
on the
list,
barrel guys so, list. Yeah.
There you go.
There's that. But you know what that is? That right there.
There you go. So the barrels are going great.
That's good.
Y'all got a new work trailer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Got a new work trailer. I know I said that in the last video. Posted the video on the work trailer. Everybody's been loving it. And they've been, if you haven't watched that, go over there, watch it. It's just, you get to be a fly on the wall and watch me and James, design from the beginning. That stinker's out there right now, and he's actually working on it without me and without a camera, sadly. But anyway, we're going to keep y'all up to date on that, definitely, because we are so excited about that. We did a very big job, our biggest job to date, and for a very, very nice gentleman, and big old cedar fence, privacy fence. And it was really good. We learned a lot.
And you filmed none of it.
And we filmed none of it.
Great.
We got lots of photos of it though. When I go back, I really do want to film it because photos they just don't do it justice it's so beautiful and it's so long. So that was really exciting. And we had our work trailer and the people listening to the podcast, you get a little bit of because the video ended after putting up just the shop bench in there and like a little shelf, but we got done all the electrical too in there. And the lights, we got the lettering. Lights and we got the vinyl lettering, which That's going to be really cool. I want to make a video about that. Yes. Definitely. How we saved thousands of dollars on getting our construction service logos on our trailer for like a 1/4 of the price. Mm-hmm. Than a normal logo company would, you know, charge you for vinyl. But anyway, so that was really cool being able to have all of our tools in a trailer, and they all had pretty much their own spot. Eventually we're going to have everything having its own spot, so it won't have to go into pack out drawers and stuff. And
you
like could that
tell them how after you designed your work trailer, mm-hmm. y'all monogrammed your own Milwaukee cups.
Oh, that's actually true. So for the people listening to audio, you won't be able to see this, but it for the people that are on the backup channel. So James, this little stinker, he actually used AI and he stole Milwaukee's, he stole their text font.
Now I'm on another list.
Technically not perfectly because of the, if you look at the M here, and then if you look at the Milwaukee's M over here, it is slightly different. So, yes, okay. So it's not 100%. So it's not like total fraud. Design. Okay. So you couldn't really totally lock them up. So anyway, I had this in
He'll get locked up before Hillary.
That's actually true. And I had this on a live stream and nobody said anything. And then I brought this mug to church. Nobody noticed it until I pointed it out and they were like, oh, that says Matthew, not Milwaukee. I'm like, dude, it was that good. It was that good. So the M and the W and the E on in Matthew kind of threw him off. So anyway, it's funny. But anyway, yeah. So we should make, we'll definitely have to make a video about our vinyl cutter. We got a Cricut 3 or whatever. They just came out with it. And it's awesome. Super, super cool machine. Definitely want to make a video on it.
Do it yourself.
Yeah. And I definitely want to make a video about vinyl wrapping just in general, because especially wet vinyl wrapping, because James was telling me there's literally only a handful of like actual how-to videos on YouTube. And they're like real vague too on wet applying vinyl.
But the problem is he already did it, right?
No. He only did one side. He only did one side. Okay, there's two more sides to do.
Okay.
So anyway.
So you can make a video.
We can definitely make a video about it.
Excellent.
Yeah. Right. It might not get a lot of views, of course, but long term, it might. So anyway, so that is farm news, I think. That's
around the farm.
Yeah, around the farm.
So our next segment. Oh, and before we get into our next segment is brought to you by Stacy. If you're looking for precious metals, please give Stacy a call at 318-564-5823. She's a Miles Franklin broker. These are our friends over at Financial Prepper, Chris and Stacy. They're awesome
people. Right down the road.
They're our neighbors.
Yep.
That's where I buy my silver. And if you're hodling, if you're stacking, if you're monetizing, or if you're converting fiat into something that's potentially usable long-term, give Stacy a call, at least have her give you a price. It's quick and easy, very discreet shipping. It's wonderful. They're absolutely fabulous people. And we can't wait to see Chris and Stacy again. So check out, give Stacy a call at 318-564-5823.
There you go.
All right. So our next segment is going to be health check.
Health check.
And so first thing I want to, do you have scurvy yet?
Not yet.
We still don't have scurvy.
I'm waiting for it though.
We still don't have scurvy. We still don't eat leafy green vegetables.
Nope. And don't feel like eating leafy green vegetables and don't wish to eat leafy green vegetables.
I think it's safe to assume we'll never eat leafy green vegetables again.
No.
Much to the chagrin of many that
I know. It's so sad.
Somehow claim that it's some type of necessity. I think it is on myplate.gov. I know Michael recommends a good dosage of kale.
The deal is that have you ever sincerely like eaten a salad, like with all the, especially with kale in it, and not dumped a bunch of dressing on top of it just so then it kind of makes it bearable, or put croutons in it or bacon in it? and all this different junk in it. So it's like edible.
Even before we cut out all this stuff, you know, whenever we would eat this stuff, I wouldn't eat it. And two, I would say, you know, you got to dump all that junk on over it just to get it to slide down.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, which is clearly the case. I would challenge anybody that's all super into that stuff to try to do away with the seed oils and all the sugar stuff that helps that junk slide down so that it's actually palatable or even.
Hey, at least touch on it a little bit. We had some friends of ours go carnivore last week.
More converts.
Yeah. And they've been having really, really good success.
High success.
And they flipped it 180. They went total conventional American standard diet, you know, the soda and everything, the whole nine yards. And, you know, they're doing great, feeling amazing. They're already down 6 pounds and it's great. And they're going to be doing it hardcore carnivore for 90 days. And I was so thankful that they were doing it, that they were going to go 100% carnivore for even if it was only 30 days, just so then they get the maximum amount of exposure time. So then they can really see the power of it, you know, and just see how life-changing it can be, you know, especially when you have ailments and, you know, if you're overweight or underweight, you know, if you're super skinny and you need to add back on a little bit of fat and muscle. So yeah, but health check wise, doing really, really good. It's the craziest thing, which everybody out there can probably attest to it too. I think a lot of people got sick around Christmas Eve, like everybody, like all at the same time. Kind of weird. Like
they're spraying them.
It's almost like they went over Christmas night, old Santa Claus and the reindeer, you know, he had a big old pump sprayer in the back. And he just blasted the whole United States with, sludge. I don't know. And everybody got the same.
Christmas.
I know. Christmas present. So anyway.
Yeah. And hopefully, speaking of
Christmas presents.
I reached out to an author that just recently wrote a book.
Okay.
It's going to be a very awesome, interesting interview.
Awesome.
I'm not going to say anything until he responds and let me know that he's going to be on the podcast, but should be coming up. We have several interviews scheduled. Yeah. We have two interviews scheduled for next week.
Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned. And super so, cool. Yeah, on my health check end.
Yeah, how you been doing?
I'm 2 weeks into, I completely eliminated everything but red, but beef. So I've been eating
lion.
Yeah. I've been eating basically lion, 1 to 2 steaks a day,
diet.
1.5 to 2 pounds of red meat.
Okay.
No eggs, no coffee, no anything. Okay. Feel really good. Inflammation is super low.
Good.
Neck and back feel great. Mm-hmm. Shoulders feels good. My shoulder, the other thing I added in was a new hanging regimen. So now I hang, I used to hang wide grip. Now I hang shoulder grip and I'm continuing to gain mobility in my shoulder. There's an inordinate amount of research that if you do have any kind of rotator cuff or shoulder issues, that long-term hanging, will help heal that. And so I'm getting more range of motion back. And one thing I'm starting to try to, I can easily hang with one arm from my right arm from the rebuilt shoulder, not so much yet, but I'm in addition to hanging with both hands, I'm attempting to hang one arm and
yeah,
it's
good.
It's I'm definitely feeling a tremendous amount of continued improvement. So now I'm over 1 year in of the Roto-Rooter and all that stuff, and I'm continuing to progress and move forward, which is kind of really awesome. Praise the Lord.
Big time.
So that's a blessing. And so that is the health check.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So
all is well.
On to the main topic of this podcast. What is the main thing that we are going to be discussing today in this podcast? Episode 29.
If you've, and I know y'all have thought this. Well, let me rephrase that. Yeah. If you are a man, that would be if you're born a man.
Whoa.
So if you were born a man, well, you were born a baby boy and then you grew up into a man. But if you were born male and you're now a man, or maybe you used to be a man, or maybe you're an old man. You have, I'm sure, I mean, I know I have been feeling this impending Linus cloud of doom over manliness, manhood, masculinity. It seems like in a very eugenics Malthusian type way that really old British white guys have been desiring to destroy masculinity. And and just to kind of like clarify everything and remove all doubt.
Yeah.
This article comes from reclaimthenet.org. DHS, so that is Department for Homeland Security, that some people call it the Department of Homeland Security, since, you know, with all the Jesuit stuff going on. Yeah. The Department for Homeland Security has been funding programs at universities to label the manosphere movement a terrorist threat. If you're tired of censorship and dystopian threats against civil liberties, subscribe to Reclaim the Net. No, they do have great stuff. So do subscribe to Reclaim the Net. DHS continues to team up by means of funding with universities around the country, this time in a bid to stomp out the manosphere. So, and of course, it's some kind of new speak word. Yeah, yeah.
Manosphere.
Instead of just saying destroy masculinity, like, and destroy men, you know, we got to destroy this hyperbolized manifestation of a postmodern deconstructed manosphere. But anyway, and hand in hand with the unit, with the communist socialist universities that have been, okay, the Frankfurt School, since, if we just rewind just a little bit, like early 1800s, you know, the Frankfurt School at et al and all this stuff, where all the communist socialist Marxist socialist communist, it's all relatively speaking, it's the same flavor. Let me interject this here, because we didn't get any viewer mail this week, but we did get a comment on one of our shorts where we were talking about an interdependent collaborative efforts between individuals in community. Right, so there's interdependence within a community. This is what we're talking about when it comes to parallel society, parallel community, parallel economy. Yep. We need to create. See, so the main matrix, right? What normies call society or whatever has been completely synthesized. It's been hijacked. You know, your neighborhoods with your cul-de-sacs, your concrete jungles, and your grocery stores, and you're disconnected from reality. You're disconnected from your food. You're disconnected from real money. You know, it's fiat, it's digital, it's Zelle, it's PayPal, it's Uber. You know, you don't even own your own car. You'll own nothing and be happy. So as long as we have these synthetic derivatives of reality, like you jump in an Uber, you don't need a car. Just rent this guy's, this guy will rent you a ride, right? It's this all part of this synthesization process. So, you know, everything that is completely synthesized, you know, the opposite of that, the true, the pure opposite of that is reality. And I just lost my train of thought, but it was really good what I was going to say.
It was a comment on
the
short.
So, yeah, the comment on the short was, when I talked about this interdependent relationship creating this parallel society, he was like, yo, dog, you're describing communism, bruh, and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, and he inserted the word collective ownership, you know? And I'm like, wait a minute, bro, you inserted this word collective ownership. Nobody said anything about collectively owning anything. We were talking about elective collaboration, where you choose to cooperate with one another. You each own your own stuff, right? Yeah.
You can say, if I go over to my neighbor and say, hey, can I borrow that? He can say, no. No, you can't.
Right. You don't collectively own it.
No.
I mean,
no.
That's a nightmare. So I made it, I made a real basic. I said, yeah, I know that collective ownership works great. Just ask anybody that lives in an HOA. Mm. And then he was like, bro, dog, if you don't under, if you, you think HOA is collective ownership? Well, yeah, it is. That's what HOA fees are. Dude. You don't truly own your property. Nope. It's owned as a collective mm-hmm. by that LLC or however mm-hmm. it was set up. It, yeah. it truly is collective ownership. And it truly is a burning dumpster fire. Just, it's a terrible, it's horrible. And it's run by a bunch of, oh man, I don't know if y'all have ever gotten to experience an HOA. And another thing that an HOA is, it is this completely synthetic derivative of reality. An HOA mm. should not exist. It can't work. It doesn't work. It's terrible. And it's always ran by the people that have nothing else to do, man. It, and I would be darn tootin' if I ever ended up in a HOA. But it was real funny how we get a lot of this postmodern newspeak where they'll try to superimpose
sure.
their communist fascism, socialism, mm-hmm. like, oh, you're describing communism.
Yeah.
And I said, and so he mocked me for my HOA reference. He said, I just totally don't understand the fact since I referenced an HOA. And I said, bro, dog, comrade, like, give me an illustration of a collective ownership that works at all. Just give me an illustration. And then, of course, it's crickets. So I don't know if the bots can't respond or maybe I burn out his the one working test tube.
Yeah, that might have been
in his brain or something. Yeah. But I did think that that was interesting. And I thought I'd interject it here because we do want to hear from you. We love reading your comments and responding. We want to get emails from you. We used to get a lot of emails. We don't get many anymore. No. And we want to have a viewer mail slot in the podcast.
Definitely.
And we hadn't really gotten, we don't get any comments. Speaking of comments. Okay. So we post the Fearless podcast on YouTube for whatever reason. I don't know why we do that, but we do it. It gets very few views and it only gets usually like awkward comments. And there's no real good interaction there. Unfortunately, I don't know why. If you would like to communicate back and forth and have some great dialogue and great comments, mm-hmm. you need to go over to the Fountain app. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's where the majority of everybody's watching.
Yeah. And that's where there's an inordinate amount of comments over there and sharing. And it's a great value for value. You can earn Satoshis, you can earn sats, which is a derivation of Bitcoin.
Hey, and for everybody that's been commenting over there, we do see your comments over there. Over at the Fountain app. And we already checked before we went live here on the podcast and there wasn't any questions, but we did see y'all's comments over there.
And the Fountain app is just redesigned and had their new like 1.0. And yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Beautiful, very user-friendly.
Good.
While I'm making all my plugs, leave us a 5-star review either at Spotify or Apple.
Helps tremendously. That's where it's
Spotify, Apple, and Fountain or is where we're getting the most downloads. Yep. So leave us a review there. It helps. Back to the manosphere.
Yeah.
In keeping with the formal purpose and tasks of DHS, the idea is to treat the manosphere question in quotes positioned as an anti-feminist effort as a terrorist threat.
Oh boy.
Regardless of somebody's stance pro or against modern variations on feminism, some observers are wondering if opposing this social and ideological phenomenon can in fact fit within any definition of terrorism. Well, it can if you just change the definition. Just like you construct this word manosphere, which if I had done my due diligence
out of the atmosphere,
I could have checked maybe the Ebonics dictionary for the term manosphere and the definition. I don't think it's in any type of Oxford English dictionary that is pre 2023, but
I've never heard it. Never.
But it is postmodern. It is the new speak that we have learned to just so largely enjoy. And it's the, what was the new, in 1984, I forget what the new dictionary was, but it's the new speak dictionary or whatever.
Yeah.
Some explain this opposition is simply a negative yet lawful reaction to the so-called third wave feminism. Already being bankrolled by some of the largest foundations out there. And I, you know, this whole third wave feminism, I mean, feminism what in general.
Third wave feminism?
Yeah. You know, basically they act like the first two waves of feminism were good. You know, and this third wave is like this purple breather, ZZ or Zim thing. Mm-hmm. I completely disagree. This is a congruent attack that goes right back to the Frankfurt School. This is postmodern deconstructionism, first, second, and third wave. This is the continuation of postmodern deconstruction. You know, when you start this thing, the Ouroboros eats itself by design. Mm-hmm. You collapse the system by rigging the system so that it collapses on itself. It is a self-controlled demolition.
Correct.
You know, it's a self-controlled, self-imposed demolition. And that's why these purple breathers aren't happy until they burn the whole thing down. Mm-hmm. And if that means they got to burn the building down with them inside it, then that's what they got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at all these vegans and all this crazy stuff. I mean, this is third wave psychosis. So this third wave feminism has already been bankrolled by some of the largest foundations out there. And then using this money and exposure in the media or the propaganda arms to promote and even impose wokeism is pretty much the only way wokeism works. The oppressive one. Yeah. And wokeism is you're not really woke enough until you're absolutely against everything. And ultimately you got to kind of hate yourself and look in the mirror and, you know, have body positivity.
Yep.
See, so even when you're supposedly on this right side of woke and you have body positivity, well, you're killing yourself by eating yourself to death.
Very true.
But you're deluded enough to think that you're fat and healthy.
Yeah, sure.
So that's just one illustration. Yep. Those who feel oppressed here, the manosphere consists of figures from social media and political discourse, generally speaking, arguing in favor of men's rights. What's noteworthy? Yeah, this is true. This is real. What's noteworthy is that reports say the government via DHS has now apparently picked its side in this ongoing social and cultural to and fro between the two groups. I'd like to point this out that in the District of Criminals, there are many men, there are many air quotes, men, lizard people, male lizards that work there, right? Mm-hmm. Within the elected criminals, right? Mm-hmm. Or the selected criminals or whichever ones that have, you know, done the bidding of their gatekeepers and all that stuff. And then the same thing at the Department of Homeland Security, there's a lot of men that work there. It's becoming fewer and fewer, just like in there's fewer and fewer Congress critters that are male gender anymore. Mm-hmm. There's fewer and fewer.
Yep.
But you know how we talk about the Amos Miller thing and this tyranny is facilitated by the jackboots, by the brown shirts. It's the same thing. This is proof that this Ouroboros, that this in the system is rigged to implode on itself to the extent that men, and we use this term loosely because now we know about gender fluidity. And we know about how many genders there are and all these different things.
8 billion.
And so when I use the term man, I want to use that in air quotes and everything. I'm sure there's some kind of new age terminology for it that I'm unfamiliar with.
But it's like hip.
There's some type of new speak. Probably. But as they attack masculinity, right? Mm-hmm. And as they attack the social media, men in social media, political discourse by men, the attack is still largely facilitated by men.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's not actually facilitated by men, it's permitted by men that bow at Denise mm-hmm. and Sherry
yep.
and all these like and such as,
yep.
right? And they're facilitating their own demise. Mm. And then they're like, but look at them.
Yeah.
You know, and they're pointing the finger. And this stuff, if you just had your own best self-interest at heart, like whatever happened to like, you know, where with all these Darwinian evolutionists, right? And the survival of the fittest, right?
Mm.
And the strongest survive it. What for everybody that, you know, once I was a monkey swimming from a tree, now I'm a doctor with a PhD. Mm-hmm. Where is all of this survival of the fittest?
Dude, that went away with the dodo bird, man. That is gone.
Yeah,
like, I mean, now there's fat positivity or whatever now.
I mean, you've all know Harari, you know, he explains how we evolved from this primordial soup. Mm-hmm. And now that this is the new age of yeah. Aquarius, now that man is going to selectively evolve themselves.
Yeah,
well, that's not even perceivable. Like I can't even watch that happening in our society. Basically, I just watch the same bunch of eugenicists from Darwin and Huxley and all these great eugenicists. And who's the chick that Hillary Clinton loved? The Planned Parenthood chick and all that stuff. All these good eugenicists, the ultra racist people.
They're all in bed.
Yeah. And we're continuing to watch this deconstructionism. And now Arizona State University is shown to have forged monetary links with DHS thanks to documents that have become public, as reported by Zero Hedge, specifically the school's McCain Institute. So, okay, take in the syrupy irony. John McCain, that great Republitard, has the McCain Institute. Okay, for those of you that don't know this, John McCain presented himself as a man. I don't know if he was a man or not. He was also a Vietnam veteran.
Mm.
So, you know, if you want to thank him for his service, go ahead and do that. He's a great American, sir. The McCain Institute is involved here, which in turn has ties with big tech and like-minded NGOs, non-government organizations such as ADL. Oh, so ADL, that's the Anti-Discrimination League, and the SPLC, which is the Southern Poverty Law Center. And basically the ADL and the SPLC, they live to like hate on white males and all that yeah. stuff, and white guilt and white privilege yeah. and all that good stuff. And you know, and everybody's a homegrown terrorist and all that nonsense. Yeah.
If you're white. Yeah.
Especially if you're a male if you're white.
Yeah, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't help matters that the stated goals in the now revealed documents is to promote hate speech surveillance.
Mm.
Nor does indeed redirecting traffic from both websites and social networks as a means to do it.
Hmm.
Apparently a method to be used under the grant. So they're going to surveil your hate speech and they're going to redirect traffic. So I'm going to translate. They're going to create, well, one, this is exclusively going to reflect on your social credit score.
Big time.
Because what difference does it make if they monitor your hate speech? How are you going to be penalized? Well, you're going to be penalized by a decrease or a downgrade in your social credit score, and then you're going to be redirected. So if you haven't noticed this about the interwebs, it is incredibly, the internet is shrinking. It's becoming smaller and smaller. It's much more difficult to find things that you used to find.
Yep.
And even if you go on Brave Search and do these more involved searches,
it's crazy.
The internet is getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah. And trying more to do research on any normal platform is, it just don't even think about it. If you want to get real truth and facts, it's impossible.
Yeah, it's totally curated.
Totally. You know? There's only like 4 or 5 sites, but they'll give you a billion different links to stuff, but they all lead back to 3 or 4 sites.
Yeah, and your tax dollars are paying to surveil your hate speech, which will be determined by an AI. There's going to be a collective group of words with quotation marks around them. The AI is going to sift through the interwebs, and it's going to flag you just the same exact way that YouTube bogusly flags our videos for just spurious content. And then it says in this video, and I'm like, hey, YouTube, like where?
What word?
Oh, sorry. We reviewed it. Sorry. We can't, we don't have sophisticated, somehow we had sophisticated enough technology.
Somehow we're a multi-billion dollar company and we can't tell you what words offended us.
Well, we have sophisticated software that took 2 years to find this infraction.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it scrubs through the thing. We can find it, but we can't tell you where it's at or what it was.
What it was, yeah.
But we did review it, and you were found wrong. So now if you go to re-education camp, you can get your freedom of speech back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is, and this is where it continues to go. We're continuing to watch this redirecting of traffic brought to us by our tax dollars, facilitated by spineless men.
Well, and that
masculine,
the
women.
Whole shrinking of the internet also goes to now you have to be so careful of what you say and, oh, you can't say that and you can't say this. So then also it's training you. So then when you go into these platforms like YouTube and you watch these people talk about certain stuff and how they have to wordsmitherize everything because they just don't want to be on they don't want to be on the boogie list, you know? So they have to wordsmithery things and not say this and not say that and jump around, you know? And yeah, it's big time shrinking of the internet from that perspective.
Well, yeah. And then not only is the internet shrinking, but these men that are involved in DHS, they have lots of shrinkage going on too. And, you know, nobody can stand up for anything. You know, all of these guys, all of these air quote men, all these toxic.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
That's true. All of these air quotes men that are, you know, harassing Amos Miller, they all suffer from shrinkage.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And masculinity is gone. And, you know, it's always been our goal, hope, and desire to raise men. You know, we never set out to raise boys.
Yeah.
And there's some irony in this that our channel is called the Texas Boys. And what they were boys when they started it. They picked the name, y'all, you know? So that's why they were the Texas Boys. They're still the Texas Boys. And, we wanted to raise men. You're watching men develop into more mature men, and that's the goal. And look, if you don't start out with that as the goal, the whole system has been hijacked.
Yeah. It'll flop.
And if you have a son and you don't have, like, relatively speaking, a preeminent goal to raise that boy as a man, it's just like all these 40-year-old, you know, Sony or Xbox basement dwellers that live with their mom or grandmom.
Their dad didn't have an end goal for them, you know.
And they're effeminate, and they talk. Yeah. They talk like something's wrong with them. They talk like a soy boy. They talk like, you know.
Yeah.
I just watched this documentary. I can't. These guys with, like, the lisp and the girly talk. I think me and Billy were talking about that.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, and it's all part of this whole process, and it's all part of redirecting traffic because it's programming. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is scroll through YouTube and listen to people blog. And then they got that, and Billy was talking about that uptick on
that's all on TikTok too, and now they even have over there on TikTok. It's like that's what Billy was talking about, the upspeak. But with those, because I watch other people that'll sometimes review those TikTok shorts, like libs of TikTok or whatever, right? But now they have, like, over there, they have, like, effects So then they can just talk normal into it, right? And it'll put just like a effect. So then their voice sounds
higher.
Sounds higher pitch, and it's so annoying. It's like, personally to me, it's like the most annoying thing in the world.
They're artificially going out of the way to make themselves like, sound effeminate. You sound to be more
so bad.
I don't know, relatable.
So annoying. Like, and they all have like the same squeaky voice. I'm like, everybody on TikTok has like the
and,
same
and this
voice
is what
profile.
Has made Trump so popular. You know, the guy will be direct. He'll be, and I don't appreciate. Yeah, I appreciate his directness. I don't. Hey. I appreciate very little about him.
Yeah,
but hey. You know, and yeah. This is yeah. And this is what Scott Adams was talking about, and he's why he predicted that he would win the first time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Hey, when he gets up there, yeah, he's straight and to the point. At least when he's up there, and he ain't gonna.
Yeah,
you know,
and it might never add up again. You know,
no,
he might never lock her up or all that good stuff. But whatever. But you know, this is part of the social experiment.
At least he can talk. So,
however, this isn't the first DHS foray into spending money and teaming up with U.S. universities to work against a number of issues that appear closer to its tasks, namely actual terrorism, but also probing the activities of those who express patriotic political sentiment and even preppers. There you go.
Wait, it actually says preppers?
Yeah.
No way.
As for the money given to ASU, it is part of the T. Of course, there has to be an acronym, y'all. So I'm gonna educate y'all. The TVPT, Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention. So this is a new branch, I'm sure. It's so wild every time when you start seeing these different videos of them breaking down how money's being allocated and you're like, what is, like, there's all these new illegal alien branches now, like the Department of Alien Integration and Oral Hygiene Technology and all this. I'm like, what in the world are you, what is that? Yeah. That's new. Who voted for that?
Yeah, I know James O'Keefe has been, you know, working on that and trying to expose more of that, the whole alien thing, and trying to, you know, figure out, you know, more what's going on.
It's interesting, you know, we have all this illegal activity and everybody's distracted by the supposedly green skin alien, how they keep rolling that back out. But that's another story for another day. You can go back to
different type of alien.
Our second or third podcast, like they're not coming to take you away or whatever. We talked about that, but so this targeted violence and terrorism prevention scheme, which according to DHS itself last year went to 34 recipients and was worth $20 million. So this is how, you know, and the $20 million is just a small, it's just a small drop in the bucket. There's like 60 to 100 to several hundreds of these programs.
Don't worry.
Being done, you know, it's either DHS, it's all the different acronyms and every acronym, CIA, FBI, NSA, they all have these own little pet programs and they're all trickling in $20 million a pop.
Here and there.
It ends up being billions of dollars.
Trillions.
This is what makes the ADL and the SPLC go around. This is what makes all this, like, what's Johnny going to do? He can't afford college. This is what makes all these college tuitions like quintuple.
Yep.
This is also what makes the degree absolutely worthless, worth nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what is that? Okay. Make the tuition triple or quadruple. Make the curriculum worthless and terrible. That's a self-consuming, self-destructing system that is broken beyond repair. How do we fix this? You don't. You start over.
Yep. As Billy would say, only starvation can fix this.
You start over. This is
restart.
And you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, we need a great reset. Right? But you know, that's why they're collapsing the system and on every level, every facet. They're going to collapse the food system. They're going to collapse the medical system.
Big old power grab.
They're collapsing the technological system. They're collapsing the power system.
So then they can roll in the old one world government and your social credit score and one world money and everything.
CBDC, UBI, all this stuff. Collapse the whole thing.
And lower up.
And they want to tell you how they're going to reset it.
Yeah. Yep.
And my point is you take the personal responsibility
today
and you develop parallel systems now. Now, does that mean you're going to be able to foresee everything? Does that mean you're going to be able to recognize everything?
Nope.
Does that mean that you're going to have an answer for every tripwire and every no, but you're doing the best you can with what you have, where you're at. You're not just
doing that 1% every day,
living in quiet desperation. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to pay my bills. You know, I keep my head down.
Mind my own business.
You know that, I mean, these DHS guys that are bending over and these US DUG guys that are harassing and these feds that are harassing him. Oh, you know, do my job, boss. I just got to do my job. So I got my paycheck. So I can buy my food. So I can, you know, because of my stuff and my life. And
I'm
going to
retire in 20 years, you know?
Yeah. And that's how all this stuff just collapses on itself. And
because there's no more real men anymore.
No, there's no more real men. And nobody will stand up. And look, it's not about like, you know, and then there's this whole other part of this civil war dialectic that they want to try to create. And like, well, the solution is violence. And ultimately, that is the narrative that they want to paint and they want to stir that pot.
Oh, yeah.
But if you are actively living your own life and you're finding your own solutions and living in parallel, there will be no need for violence.
Yep.
It's basically a personal revolution, right? Mm-hmm. Within revolutionizing your health, right? Making the changes to whether it's carnivore or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Implementing that instead of just like, well, I could go to the doctors one more time, you know, and I could see what the doctor has to say, or I could hear something revolutionary. I could switch doctors. I could ask a different doctor.
Yeah. For another opinion.
And as long as you're going to outsource your health to some medical deity, right? You're probably going to end up with the 90%ers.
You're going to end up in the breadline.
In the same boat as everybody else. Yeah. But if you take personal responsibility for that, you have a chance of making a change that actually does something and affects you. And well, you know, the doctors just don't know and there aren't any answers.
Oh, they know.
Yeah. And you know what? But, and a lot of doctors are good, but they only just regurgitate what they were taught at Arizona State University.
Yeah.
And so if you think that this stuff at Arizona State University just started and it hasn't been going on for like the last 80 to 100 years, you're deluding yourself. And, you know, Tavistock, we can talk about all these different operation this, operation that, that have been happening and that have been going on in these universities. And I wasn't around in the 60s, but I can read a book.
Yeah.
I wasn't around in the 70s, but I can read a book. And that stuff was military operations. There was nothing organic about any of that. You know, that's just like saying the Civil War was about slavery.
Sure.
Yep. Okay. And you can either read good books and learn something and act accordingly, or you can just be like, I just know what they taught me in the school. You know, and you will have, so if you want to know and learn what they just taught you in the school, that's what you're going to have. It's that Prussian, and you're going to be the cog in the machine, and when the machine doesn't want to oil your cog, there's more cogs. That cog can burn up.
Yep.
And the machine is going to eat itself because it works better.
Yep.
You know, and that's why, oh, well, these New World Order guys and all these guys at the top of the pyramid, why do they want to destroy the earth? Because they work for Satan?
Yeah.
Yeah, why would they? Because they're destroying the planet they're living on. They don't care. They're insane.
Yep.
They've already redistributed all the wealth. They have the great taking, right? They're going to take everything anyway. And they think that they're going to fake God out at the end. Mm-hmm. They think they're going to do some kind of satanic zigzag and fake God out. And they don't think that their judgment day is not coming. Mm. Some of them have already realized that too little too late, you know, but their day is coming. And I'm just not like, well, I'm going to pray and sit on my hands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just, no, that's just kind of dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, so if you didn't know it, it's illegal to be a man. If you're a man in America, you are a terrorist.
Mm.
So welcome to the club.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your, thank you for enlisting.
There you go.
Into the, I don't think the CIA has came up with any type of Muslim word yet for us, but maybe we'll be like an ISIS or an ISIL or a CLIATA, like a CIATA, CIATA, something like that. Or,
I don't know. Or, some type of acronym.
And there's got to be a really cool acronym.
Really like cool. Some catchy.
No. White Male Army. The WMA.
Ooh, that has a good ring to it.
Or the white male, the WMT.
WMT.
Like the white male terrorist or something like that.
Yeah. Yep. Something like that.
But yeah, so you know, be careful of the shrinkage, guys. No shrinkage. You want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You want to grow. Be a man.
Yep.
And we want to encourage y'all to stand up and be a man.
Yep. There you go.
And
start today.
And understand that your God-given pronouns and all that good stuff. Yep. And graciously accept them and be the man that you were designed and created to be. And, and remember y'all, stay fearless, my friends.